You're welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It's Donal Kavanagh with you on till 12 noon today. Just a few requests. Kathleen Doherty of Drumnaskey, Ballymaleel, a very happy 90th birthday to you, Kathleen, from all the family. Could we wish Elsie Gilmore of the Broad Road Convoy a very happy birthday today? Lots of love from your daughter Sharon, Ernie, Alana, Cameron, Craig, Lindsay and Russell. Thank you very much indeed, and a very happy birthday indeed to you, Elsie. And happy birthday to a special wife, Anne O'Brien from Rafo, and a special mum from Alison, James and Granny, from Lee, Christopher and Kira, and a special mum from Angela and Greg and Granny, from Ethan, Dylan and from Ryan. Just a few of your comments before we go to the bingo numbers, but grab your pen because they're coming up very shortly. Donald, help me out, please. Could you or a guest take time to explain how asylum seekers are legally allowed to vote in our elections? I'm not talking about those who've been living here for 20 years. I can't understand how the latest arrivals are allowed to vote. Thank you. Now, the situation, and Art McCrory, the head of the Electoral Commission, was a guest on the show with us about 2 weeks ago. And we asked Art this, and what Art said was that every person that moves to Ireland, irrespective of whether they've been living here a week or 20 years, has a vote in local and Dáil elections. So if you have moved here from whatever country you're in, if you have an address in Ireland, you are entitled to register to vote. Now, some candidates and some parties will make a point of offering people assistance with adding them to the register and will give them lifts to polling stations, which is all above board and it's been done for years. But anyone that moves is entitled to a vote in local and Dáil elections, the areas in which the bylaws and laws under which we live every day are set. If you are not an Irish citizen, you do not have a vote in a presidential election and a European election and a referendum. So European elections, presidential elections and referendums, as you understand, you have to have Irish citizenship. So for instance, if someone from a non-EU country was voting last week, they would have voted in the local election. They would not have had a vote in the European election because they are not European citizens. So that's the way it works. That anyone who's living here, whether they're living here a week or a half century, they have a right to vote in local and Dáil elections. That's my understanding of the situation. If I am wrong in any of that, please do correct me. We were speaking earlier about referrals to Ballykelly and other private hospitals. Caller says, my GP referred me to have my gallbladder out because some stones were showing up in a scan. There was no discussion really with me despite having no pain at all. I had been on a Letterkenny waiting list for approximately 1.5 years. I got an appointment with a consultant in Letterkenny who said they could refer me to Ballybuffet. It was my decision if I wanted the gallbladder out or not. The consultant in Ballykelly said they wouldn't normally operate on patients with no pain as every operation has a risk. So I decided at that stage not to leave it. I think really I shouldn't have been referred by the GP in the first place and shouldn't have been taking up space on a waiting list. That's from a corner. Ballykelly always looks for your medical records before they will operate on you. So says a caller. Now, I just wonder if these because I know before any surgery in Ballykelly or indeed in the hospital, there'll be various pre-assessment meetings where you'll be called in, you'll speak to the consultant, you'll speak to the anaesthetist, and maybe it's for those meetings that the medical records are sought. But it's a fair point. Another caller says, why do they send people from Donegal to Ballykelly and people from Northern Ireland to Galway? Is there any transport for old people? I know someone has an eye appointment in Sligo. She's in her 80s. It's a slightly different thing. This is effectively, the Ballykelly referrals are a means of taking people off the waiting list in the Republic. They're there. And the specific purpose, certainly of the NTPF, is to try and reduce waiting lists for routine operations where people have been waiting lengthy periods for elective surgery. So the referrals to Ballykelly are referrals to try and get people off waiting lists and speed up that process of people getting the elective treatment they need. The transport for an eye appointment in Sligo, I absolutely sympathise with the person in that situation because I have had several, over the years, eye appointments in Sligo myself, as it happens. But no, there, at this point, there is not a national system or scheme whereby people can get transport for an eye operation there. And again, we've had a call from Emma Gova with regards to Ballykelly. I had a similar experience with Michaela. She was told the same thing. They couldn't operate on the day. They had no ICU unit. And because of her complications, they couldn't do the surgery. She's 2 years on a list for an ENT. We went back to our GP as you can't self-refer. We need a referral to an audiologist as she is losing her hearing. And again, this is, and maybe the electronic patient record could perhaps help in this, but sometimes you look at a health system and it's not joined up. And you've got different strands looking at different things and doing different things, and it doesn't all come together. And maybe one of the things we need to do with our health service is just to look at joining everything together and try and ensure that people get whatever it is they need as quickly as is possible. Now, it's 17 minutes past 10, so it's beyond time for your bingo numbers. So grab your books, grab your pens, and without any further ado, reminding you that the Community Garda slot is next. And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's time for our Community Garda information slot. And if you're watching on our YouTube or Facebook cameras this morning, you'll notice that we have a tag team in studio. We have not one, but two Garda sergeants to help us with the Community Garda slot this morning. Delighted to be joined in studio by Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson. Good morning to you, Charlene.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
And we also have Sergeant Fergus McGrory, who is the new Crime Prevention Officer in Donegal. Fergus, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Okay, we're going to make a start, I think, with you, Charlene. And sadly, the first appeal is in relation to a fatal road collision in Moville at the weekend.
That's correct, Donald. So, Gardaí are appealing for witnesses following a fatal road traffic collision in Moville on Sunday, the 9th of June, 2024. Now, shortly after 1:30 a.m, Gardaí and Emergency Services responded to a collision involving a car and a pedestrian at Ballymalley in Moville. Now, the pedestrian, a male in his 20s, was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the car was taken to hospital for assessment. So we're urging anyone who may have witnessed the collision to contact us this morning, any road users who may have dash cam footage, and really anyone that has any information in relation to the incident, to contact us at Buncrana Garda Station on 074-932-0540, or as always, they can contact the Garda Confidential line on 1800-666-111.
A very sad one indeed. We're going now to the theft of an e-scooter in Letterkenny, I believe. Fergus, you're going to take this one?
No, Charlie's going to take this one.
Sorry, I thought you were going to take the thing. So, Gardaí are investigating the theft of a grey MAN e-scooter, Donald, from Lower Main Street in Letterkenny. And this occurred on Saturday, the 8th of June, at approximately 1:15 a.m. Now, the owner of the scooter had parked it outside a takeaway and went inside. Another man came out of the takeaway and took the e-scooter and travelled in the direction of Lower Main Street in Letterkenny. So once again, we just appeal to anyone who may have been in the area. Perhaps they may have seen this incident. They may have dash cam footage. And if so, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100.
The theft of fuel from a tractor this time.
Yeah, the Gardaí are investigating the theft of fuel from a tractor that was parked in the farmyard at an area called Kimmid and Pettigo between 6 p.m. on Tuesday, the 4th of June, and 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday, the 5th of June. So we're appealing to residents in that area to make contact with the Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530. If they observed anything suspicious or any suspicious activities or vehicles in between those dates, we're also appealing to other farmers in the area to check their farmyards in case there are other thefts may have occurred. And we're just going to advise all farmers to ensure that they have adequate security measures in place on their farm, ensure that their shed doors are locked when their farmyard is unattended, and that all machinery is locked up, and do not leave any keys in any machinery. CCTV should be considered if there's any machinery of high value on the farm, and ensure that there's good lighting in and around the farmyard. So if any farmers want further advice in relation to security measures, I've just recently taken on the role of Crime Prevention Officer for the division, and I can be contacted at Letterkenny Garda Station on 074-9167-100, or I also can give you the email address, which was donegal.cpo@garda.ie. And just advise anybody there too that there's a lot of very good information sheets in relation to protection of your property on the Garda website there on the Crime Prevention page.
It's fair to say too, Fergus, that I mean, we've heard from Sergeant Eunan Walsh and Niall and others over the past few weeks that you are in situ and you are very willing and anxious to give advice to anyone who needs it. So if anyone has any crime prevention queries in general about other areas, make
that's correct,
contact.
Yeah. Now, I'll be working on base in Letterkenny, and my information details are actually up on, if you don't know how to contact me, but you go onto the Garda website and click on the Crime Prevention page, my contact details are up there as well for the Donegal Division.
Next up, there's the theft from a car at a car park in Letterkenny.
That's correct, Donal. So a theft from a car occurred at a car park on the Kilmacrennan Road in Letterkenny. This occurred on Wednesday, the 5th of June. Now, a brown Louis Vuitton handbag was stolen from the car, which had been unlocked at the time. So we urge anyone who may have come across this Louis Vuitton handbag for sale, perhaps on a second-hand basis, to contact Gardaí. And we'd also just wish to use this opportunity to remind all drivers to please ensure that their valuables are
kept out of sight in the car, as we always say, out of sight, out of mind, and ensure that their cars are locked when unattended.
And sadly, this isn't the first report of theft from an unlocked car we've heard this year. And the reality is very often people may walk down a line of cars and just pull handles and they'll keep going until one of the handles opens.
Absolutely, and a lot of crimes like this are opportunistic, and that's why we say out of sight, out of mind. If you have any valuables, you know, secure them in the boot, and ensure obviously that your vehicles are locked, the windows are closed and the doors are locked.
Criminal damage incident over the weekend, not over this weekend, over the previous weekend, and this happened in Raphoe.
That's correct, Jonas. So Gardaí recently received a report in relation to a criminal damage incident that occurred at the Diamond Raphoe, and that occurred between 10:30pm on Friday the 31st of May and midday on Friday the 1st of June. Now, a Jeep was parked at the location overnight and the front windscreen was smashed. So if anyone has any information in relation to this incident, or if they can assist us in any way, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100. And once again, the Gardaí confidential line can be contacted on 1800 666 111.
Now, the Garda Reserve, and people will have noticed that the recruitment ads are back on air again, and Minister McEntee certainly saying she believes the Garda Reserve has a very important part to play in the ongoing development of An Garda Síochána and its service, and that recruitment campaign as of last week is well underway.
That's correct, Donal. It launched on Wednesday, the 5th of June. An Garda Síochána is now inviting applications from those aged 18 to 60. I have an application form here for you if you want to fill it in, Donal.
You can have me. You can have me for 11 months and 2 weeks, and then I'm ineligible, I'm afraid.
Well, I took it along just in case. But and all joking aside, the Garda Reserves are voluntary members of An Garda Síochána, and I suppose, look, reserves are placed within the community to assist and work with Garda. They also assist in policing and major events, so the likes of matches, football matches, we'd say festivals, and things of that nature. The reserves would be deployed alongside Garda. Service, I suppose, Garda Reserves, as we said, is voluntary, it's unpaid, but there is certain conditions where allowances can be paid, and up until now they received €1,000 per year, but from the 1st of June this has increased, and the Commissioner has indicated that when they complete 50 hours they will receive €500 as part of their expenses, when they complete 100 hours they receive €1,000 and so on and so forth, 200 hours expenses over, they'll receive expenses in the amount of 2,000, and when it's 200 hours or above, it's 3,000.
And there has been a situation where a number of previous Garda Reserves went on to join on the Garda Síochána proper.
That's correct. I suppose the figures would indicate that from 2017, over 80 members of the Garda Reserve has gone on to train and become full-time Gardaí. So just this morning, if anyone is interested in applying for the Garda Reserve, they can log on to publicjobs.ie, and the closing date for the competition is the 3pm on the 4th of July 2024. So you do have loads of time, Jonal, if you want to apply.
If the uprage is 60, you have me for 11 months and 2 weeks. Now, an important event taking place at the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorna next Thursday. Well, I was saying next Thursday. It's 2 days' time.
Yeah, this Thursday. A health and well-being event will take place in the Finn Valley Centre in Stranorna. And that's on Thursday evening, this Thursday 13th, between 6pm and 9pm. So the Gardaí from Balbuffet will be there with their property marking machine, and they'll also be happy to mark small items such as laptops, golf clubs, etc. Now, unfortunately, there's another event nearby, so parking will be at a premium. So on this occasion, we won't be able to do marking for like trailers and heavy machinery, but there will be another similar event for that type of property marking organised in the near future. That has proved very successful in the past, and we work with our partners in AFA and stuff like that.
And it's become a very important part of the service you provide, because more and more we're hearing of people getting the property marketing service put in, because particularly I suppose with the air code now, we all have our individual air codes, so that makes it even easier. You don't need to be putting on names or addresses or sort of made up codes. You now have a very specific air code that everybody has and everybody can use.
That's right, and it's very it's awesome when property is recovered to identify the owner and get that property back to them fairly sharply.
And too, I mean, if it's an air code, you immediately have the address.
Correct.
Yeah. A question that came in last week, and I believe you're going to answer it for us this morning. And someone asked, are all patrol cars fitted with breathalysers?
And the simple answer is yes, Donal. So all patrol cars are equipped with roadside breath testing devices. Now, it's a Dräger device, that's what we would refer to. And members are also in possession of oral fluid tests. And I suppose just maybe to mention this morning, since the 31st of May this year, there has been an amendment to the Road Traffic Act 2004 that will now make it a legal requirement for members of An Garda Síochána who attend the scene of a road traffic collision where injuries occurred or claimed to have occurred, Gardaí can conduct mandatory drug testing on all drivers involved. I suppose up prior to this, Gardaí had the authority to decide whether or not to test for drugs after a breath specimen had been taken, but now the exercise of the power has become mandatory. And I suppose at a time when serious and fatal road traffic collisions are on the rise, this amendment to the legislation is indeed welcomed.
Well, I think that's it for this week. It's great to meet you, Sergeant Fergus McGorry, the new crime prevention officer in Donegal, and hopefully we'll see you again, and we'll be in touch, no doubt, over the coming weeks, months, and years. We wish you well in your stay here, and may you be pestered by the media and by others. I'd take some of the pressure off poor Charlie.
No, they're doing a good job.
You have a very good team down there.
Fairness.
Sergeant, and as I say, it isn't very often we get two sergeants in the studio, so we feel very privileged. Charlene and Fergus, thank you both very much indeed joining us this morning.
Thank you indeed.
And you're welcome back to the 9 till noon show. It's Tuesday, it's 25 to 11. It's time for Your Voice, Your Community. And the purpose of Your Voice, Your Community is to speak to people in the community, active in the community, who work in their community. And I think it's fair to say that if you in the county of Donegal, particularly in East Donegal, were to say to people, you know, come up with someone who epitomises the concept of community, you wouldn't do much better than the personage of Fergus Cleary. I'm delighted to say that Fergus is joining us in studio. Fergus, it's absolutely wonderful to see you here.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm going to just ask Shannon if you can hear me. Could you come in and switch the guest microphone slightly, please? Because we're actually losing Fergus in the shot, and he's way too good looking to be shoved over to the sidelines. So Shannon, if you could just adjust the microphone, Fergus has gone out of shot. So if you wouldn't mind adjusting the mic, and we can get Fergus in shot, because
do you want to adjust me?
Probably the handiest thing is to adjust you. If you just move over slightly, Fergus, for the camera, I think. A little bit. If you move over slightly more to your right, Fergus, yeah.
This way?
To your left, which is my right, yeah. My right would be his left. Yeah. If you do that, and what we'll do is I'll just maybe switch this one over slightly. There we go. I think we have it. Yeah, thank you, Shannon. Thank you very much indeed. Okie doke, right. I am such a professional.
Here we go.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I'm sure the lads in RT are looking at Graham. Oh, I wish I was as good as him.
Yeah.
Right. No doubts. Well, we're starting well, Fergus. Any time I ever spend in your company, within 30 seconds, I'm laughing. So today is no difference whatsoever. Fergus, talk to me about the community of Convoy, because you were born there in 1940. You've stuck around ever since. There's obviously something about Convoy that you like, and something about you that Convoy likes.
It has changed a lot. The population has grown from the time I was born there, you know. But we were just talking about the many small shops used to be in it when I was there, maybe up to 15 little small one-man shops. Now there's three major ones, bigger and wider variety, that sort of thing. And you'd be frequently held up in traffic in Convoy now. That we used to laugh, you know, that never happened. Mm-hmm. And the fair days was the big days in those days. No national school, no Catholic national school in Convoy. We all went to Broadpath, and all the children went to rural schools outside of the town. They're all amalgamated now.
And that is an interesting one, because Convoy would have an Orange tradition, a Protestant tradition.
Yes.
And growing up there, I'm sure, would have been an interesting thing for you, because it would have given you perspectives maybe that other people mightn't have had.
It was a good mixed community. I think, roughly speaking, half would be Catholic and half would be everything else. In our young day. There's immigration now, of course, the population has grown, and we're not sure or wouldn't like to ask the people who have arrived what religion they were, but there's a lot of diverse religions there now and diverse communities.
You worked in a number of positions. No doubt one of your most popular with the community was when you were serving as an ice cream man. But you would be best known, Fergus, certainly from a career point of view, as one who worked in St. Connell's for many, many years at St. Connell's Psychiatric Hospital in Letterkenny. Now, given that we had a discussion earlier about mental health nursing and mental health services, you were working in that service where the attitudes to mental health and the attitudes to mental health patients would have been very, very different to the way they are now.
Massive changes in mental health. When I started in the mental hospital, there were 749 patients there. I asked that at the interview, but during the 60s and 70s, that increased until there was nearly 800 there. And the authorities began to look at alternative accommodation. There was nothing else except St. Connell's Hospital.
Yeah.
Special needs, all those people were contained in our place. And it was on account of the staff patient ratio, it was more a kind of a custodial attitude. Don't let them harm themselves or anybody else, you know.
And just keep them in the corner, keep them safe. And apart from that, there was no treatment. There was no sense of trying to make them better themselves. There was no sense of integration.
There was medication.
You wouldn't have had, it was interesting speaking to Damien McCrory, the head of mental health nursing in Donegal now.
Yes.
The whole focus now is on integration back into the community.
Oh, yes.
Helping people, you know, achieve their goals, setting the goals, working with families, working with to try and make them get the best out of themselves.
That's right.
In your day in St. Connell's, it was keep them safe
keep them
quiet.
Keep them safe and keep things under control. In later years, it did come to pass that they had the idea of not losing contact with the home.
Yeah.
You would get somebody who would have an acute nervous breakdown and they would be admitted to the hospital and they would make a recovery, a good recovery. But when they had the nervous breakdown at home, they were breaking windows and that. And we'll say she was Auntie Mary, but they didn't want Auntie Mary back home again.
Yeah.
The only Auntie Mary they remembered was the Auntie Mary that broke the locks on the doors and that sort of thing.
And the sad thing was they didn't remember Auntie Mary before that.
No, not at all. That had gone out the window. So don't lose contact with the home was beginning to emerge while I was there.
One of the things that has been said to me about you in your days in St. Connell's was that, you know, as much as and perhaps more than most, Fergus Cleary treated those patients as people and interacted with those patients as people. And you got a lot out of them in terms of entertainment, in terms of making them happy, in terms of working with them. And part of that, no doubt, was down to the fact that you did not approach them as patients. You didn't approach them as problems. You approached them as people.
They were great people, and you could, if you had the time, you could hold very interesting conversations with them, and they had some lovely old poems and songs. It's a pity I hadn't the foresight to try and record some of them, you know. Very intelligent, and were there through no fault of their own, really, you know, they were put in there. But it was nice to have them and talk to them, and I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot of stories from them. Those days, my people at home would ask me, do they speak to you, those people in St. Connell's? Mm. And the pity was that we didn't have time to speak to them. In that place, there was a timetable for everything. You weren't supposed to be doing nothing. There was no porters, you see, and only three domestic staff, female domestic staff, and they were confined to the main kitchen. After that, it was up to us to clean the dining room floors, turn the tables upside down and scrub them, the legs of the chairs, shaving, bathing, applying the correct ointments, the correct injections at the right time, the right amount, haircuts, nails, toes. You had to be a jack of all trades, really, you know. And it was a pity we didn't have more time to have worthwhile conversations with these people.
And also, people will know, it is sort of still there, but people will remember, you know, there was once a very flourishing garden centre in St. Connell's, so you would have been out, I'm sure, in the garden with the patients, tending the plants and so on, and working outside.
And I was there before it was established, and it was a very worthwhile project, and they showed great interest in it. But one day, I took a tin whistle into the place, and it was amazing the reaction. They wouldn't have heard much live music, you know, the radio in the corner. And it was amazing. They'd be dancing and singing and, you know, but there wasn't much time for that. You know, you just got on with it. And
you started more and more to bring music to them.
I tried to bring music,
get them involved and get them singing and get them playing.
And that sort of thing.
Didn't you go as far as to organise concerts and sing on us?
Oh, we did. We did have concerts and very good concerts. Yeah, we did. And we took those concerts out to various places. I remember taking them to Convoy entirely of patients and to the Irish College in Gortahorik. And the people thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about trying to get the people to understand that there was nothing wrong with those who we were caring for.
Mm. And would people have questioned, you know, he's bringing a bus from St. Connell's out? I mean, is he mad? You know, would people have questioned that?
The people we were going to never questioned it. You'd ring somebody in the parish, look, it might be the Vincent de Paul or the ECA or some of those public. Oh, that's a good idea. Bring them along.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have the tea ready for them. And can you supply the music? And myself and Eamon Brogan and Bill Quinn, and there were a few of us had music.
Yeah.
And we supplied the music and they would lay on the tea. And there were always very enjoyable occasions because our boys would dance a lot quicker and more readily than the ordinary Joe Soap would have, you know. The minute you start the music, they were out.
Yeah, and it must have been very good for them and for their good own health as well,
good,
because, I mean, it's giving them something new. It's giving them...
Good for them. They enjoyed it. And good for the people of the parish who saw that there was really nothing wrong. And you didn't have to say anything. They realised that there was much more to it than that there weren't.
Yeah. It's interesting that we are having this conversation now, and it's to compare it to the conversation we had with Damien McCrory in the first hour. There's a patient, a caller, I beg your pardon, that's something of a Freudian slip there. There's a caller asking, what are your thoughts on how mental health patients are treated today?
Oh, there's progress. There's progress made. I'd be all for integrating them and bringing them out. It's nice to see them being brought into cafes alongside the general public, you know. And one or two care attendants with them. But it's nice to see that never would have happened when we were not at all. You wouldn't dream of it. Yeah. There was a few patients on what they called parole. They were free to wander round the hospital grounds.
Yeah. Even the name, parole. Parole. I mean, it's like, you know, temporary freedom from prison.
Yeah. A prison.
And it is, as you said, it's like the custodial atmosphere, custodial language. Language is being used,
Most frightening thing from the public's point of view was the walls that surrounded the place.
Yeah.
Right around, 10 foot high, and bits of glass and bottles stuck into the concrete on the top of it, and then barbed wire swirled around. That give a very negative, and the public wondered what kind of people were being contained in there.
It had moved by the time I moved here in 1990. Uh-huh. It had moved to the smaller walls and the railings, but I mean the equivalent hospital in Waterford was St. Otteran's, and yes, I remember those, walls and the
Yes.
I was there certainly as I was growing up.
If you go to the northeast corner, there's a bit of those walls there yet, and the bottles and the barbed wire around them. Mm-hmm.
Again, as you said, and they were all austere buildings. They were, they were prison-like in regard as well as prison-like in the way people were treated.
Yeah, we in our turn had to man the gate.
Yeah,
and fill in name of a person coming in, business, and number of the vehicle going in and number of the vehicle going out. All that was done too. Mm.
You, in more recent years, have become very well known as an MC at various concerts, as a performer at various concerts. I mean, to what extent did that grow out of those concerts you started in St. Connell's?
I probably did. I played in the show bands as well at the time. Uh-huh. And these days now, when the Finn Valley Choir, they're putting on two big shows on Friday and Saturday night in the Ballard Theatre. Mm-hmm. Anybody would be interested, there'd be ways to contact the Ballard, because I think there's great interest being shown in it.
Our own Paddy Keeney, one of the
Paddy's there, he is indeed. And there'd be up to 35 members in it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've had the experience and the pleasure of sharing a stage with the Finn Valley Choir now once or twice in sort of gigs we've both been at in various guises, as it were. And that's going to be a very good one. As you say, and I remember actually chatting to the wonderful Hugh McLean before he passed away.
Hugh McLean,
I remember Hugh talking a lot about you and playing with you and
playing
what he learned from you over the years.
I played a long time with Hugh McLean. It's a pity he's gone now.
It is. No, a lovely man too.
Good fun.
I was very fond of you.
Yeah.
In terms, Fergus, of, as we say, you've moved on from, you know, you're in St. Connell's. I'm just going to, Fergus, could you put those headphones on?
Yes.
Because I am joined on the line, and it's interesting because we've had a lot of discussion recently about female members of Donegal County Council and the lack thereof. And I'm joined on the line by a wonderful lady who is a former, I think... Were you the first ever or the second ever female Cahirlach of Council, Maureen? You were the first female Cahirlach.
That's another life.
Yeah. Joined on the line by Maureen Doohan, whom I would remember well as a member of Donegal County Council. Maureen, great to speak to you. And you're talking about, you're in Fulcara. You remember Fergus bringing the patients there?
Very much so. The Shamrock, which was my home place, it was a pub, and we had a wee dance hall, and the patients used to come down regularly, and we have fond memories of Fergus and Eamon Brogan, and they bring the patients in and have a bite to eat and a wee drink and a dance, and they love dancing. And the nice thing about it was the local people all joined in. I'm sure there are people in Fulcara still who remember. They used to come from Gardahawk and Maharoti, and they'd all come in, and the locals had as good a day as anybody. But it was just part of assimilating the patients with local communities. And it was lovely to hear them all talking and telling their wee stories and dancing. And they were fed, and they got a wee drink, and it was a day out. And I have very fond memories on Fergus and Eamon. They looked after the patients so well. And as I said, it was a day out for the locals. The locals all came in and joined in. And that was very healthy. And it was the start of bringing people out back to their communities.
And it's interesting that when push comes to shove, when we talk about integration back into the community and a whole new focus on mental health, it wasn't necessarily started by governments. It wasn't necessarily started by the HSE or the health boards. It was started by people like Fergus Cleary, Damon Brown.
By Fergus and people like him, you know, who could say that it was beneficial to take the patients out into the community. And it was the start of a wonderful way of life for the patients as well.
Fergus, I'm sure you have fond memories of the Shamrock as well.
I have very fond memories. nice to hear from you again, Maureen.
We'll never
forget the hospitality.
The Shamrock were their two favourite places.
We'll never forget the hospitality that was shown to us in your place in Fulcara. And maybe we didn't always appreciate that, but certainly our patients...
We always loved having the group, and it was so healthy, you know, just to...
Yeah, our people loved going there.
Had a day out as well.
That's true. The fun was good, and it was educational in a way for the general public to meet those people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I have to mention Eamon McGee and his group who worked. You know, they had a mental health to encourage this kind of assimilation. And it was wonderful, you know, the work that they did. You know, as Fergus made the point, they'd always get in touch with the local group. Eamon McGee, they were all there.
They were all there and had everything very well prepared. There was a great welcome.
It was lovely, Fergus, and God bless you and all your crowd.
Thanks for that, and thank you again for the hospitality and the welcome.
I heard you on the radio today. Okay.
And Maureen, thank you and for getting in contact. And as I was thinking a lot about you in recent times over the election, I always fondly remember you and your contributions in the council chamber in Lifford as well. So Maureen, it's great to talk to you again.
I'm so sad to take it to another level now. Mm. I'm so sad that there are so few women politicians. The only good news I heard this morning was Maria Walsh and Nina Carberry.
Yeah, and they're both looking good in Europe, absolutely.
So women.
Maureen, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Maureen. Thanks very much for that.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry for Anne-Marie Rogers. She didn't make it either, and she worked, you know.
And she put up a sterling fight, absolutely sterling fight as well.
I don't know what's wrong with people. But hopefully
it'll change in the future. It is indeed. Maureen, thank you very much indeed. That's
you're very welcome. Gosh,
okay,
care.
Maureen.
Thanks,
right.
Maureen. Thank you very much.
That's another thing, thank sir, because the people used to speak Gaelic.
Good to hear from you again, Maureen. Thank you.
And a lot of the patients, you know, were from round this area and got Hork and all round.
Oh, yes.
But to hear the Gaelic, they loved it, you know.
Maureen Mahu, August Sloan. That's Maureen Doohan there. She was the first female Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council and a lady I remember interviewing many times over the years here on Highland. Now, Fergus, you in more recent years, you've become absolutely, linked in with several charities in Donegal and beyond. You're absolutely synonymous with the community and charity work. You work with the St. Vincent de Paul. And you do all work with the Good and New, driving the bus, the cancer bus up and down to Galway. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm sure the crack on that bus is mighty whenever you're driving it.
It's good, they managed to keep a cheerful attitude all through, despite the complaints that they have, I did it mostly on Friday mornings. And in particular, those that would suffer from prostate cancer, they had to drink litres and litres of water before they would embark on their journey down here. And it was stop here, there and everywhere. If they wanted to get out, they got out.
Yep.
And but I did 12 years at it, and it went on very quickly.
Mm.
And they were all very, and I've made many friends out of that. The prostate seems to be eminently curable.
It's very curable, and if you catch the prostate early enough, and this is some, I've had this conversation with many people, and I always say to people, look, if you catch the prostate early enough, you can have prostate cancer lingering in the background, and it can sit there for 20 years and do nothing, just with a bit of careful surveillance and keep an eye on it. And I can say from personal experience that's the case,
because
I've had it for 2 years now, and it'll stay there for another 20 because we got it really, really early, and it's there, and it's just no intervention required.
That's the
key. And the wonderful thing is when you get it early. So if there's ever a question about anything, get it checked.
Get it early.
Get it checked. To that on
not
your,
only the prostate, but
everything, absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. But get it checked. Don't ever. And if there was one thing, if there was one message you need to get to men in particular, it's don't be, I couldn't be.
Go
and get it checked. Fergus, I'm just looking at the clock. Yes. And it's going to be time to go in a minute. I've just got another message in from another Stirling community person. Best wishes to Fergus and well done on all your work and donations with charities and organisations. You're a great community man. Can't wait to see you in the Baller on Friday. And that is from Kathleen Boner.
Oh, yeah.
Who is I would know Kathleen too, and another. It's a different choir I associate Kathleen with now, but no, she's doing more the choir
de Caelan. In establishing that choir.
I know. I was, and they did a bit of work for us at Relay there at the end of May, and absolutely brilliant herself and Veronica were great.
Very good.
Really enjoyed that one as well. Fergus, I want to ask you one final question before I let you go. And this whole sort of feature is sort of your voice, your community. And I'm going to ask a man who is so synonymous with the concept of community in Donegal, and a former, let it be said, a former Donegal Person of the Year too, by the way. So, we have to acknowledge that.
Okay,
I'm going to ask you a final question.
Yes.
What is community?
Community. It's a bonding together of the general public, more or less. Community has a great influence, more than any individual. The community speaks, and it has, and if it's used in the right way, it will be a great benefit to the world. But it can go the wrong way too when you look at these world wars and conflicts that can build up. It's an interesting one, but overall, I don't think the world would survive without community and cooperation in whatever field you do.
Coming together in a positive and healthy, beneficial
way.
It's the future. Just before we let you go, Fergus, just one or two. Fergus was involved in Tops of the Town. My father and I were involved. I just wish there were more photos or videos. Now, in some cases, we might wish there were we might be very grateful there's no photos or videos for things we got back in the day. But no, and I know you were very involved in Tops of the Town, and you've been involved in entertainment in this county for more years than I suspect you care to remember.
I don't care to remember.
And again, Anne Nichols' message from Anne. Lovely to hear Fergus on the radio, a great man who changed the way that patients were treated in St. Connell's. And again, we had many a great night in the Mount Errigal Hotel with Fergus at dances. He made so many people so very happy. And I think that that quote from Anne pretty much says it. A great man who changed the way patients were treated in St. Connell's.
I should say that Anne's father worked with me in St. Connell's. A great man himself. A wonderful singer.
Yeah.
And never afraid to...
Well, Anne didn't pick it off the street now, in fairness to Mina, because she's a great singer herself.
She's a singer too.
She is indeed.
Yeah. Pat was never afraid to volunteer his services wherever we wanted him.
Mm-hmm. Fergus, I mean, anyone that's listening to this, they're all saying the same thing. Fergus Cleary, what a man. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've known you for donkey's years, Fergus. I've loved you for donkey's years, as has anyone that's, well, anyone that's ever met Fergus Cleary has loved Fergus Cleary, because to be honest with you, you couldn't not. It's been a pleasure, Fergus. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you, Donald.
My pleasure, Fergus.